with the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mayor Pruitt?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw?
Here.
Councilmember Michelson? Councilmember Cavallari? Councilmember Todd?
Here.
Councilmember Bunt?
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari told us he would be out with his family tonight, so may we have a motion to excuse? Motion and a second to excuse Councilmember Cavallari. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? Thank you, Brian. Passes unanimously. Audience communication? Going once, twice, okay. And now we're on to our public hearing on budget adjustments. So let's go ahead. We'll open the public hearing and hear from staff.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. Tonight, we are
I think technically we need to authorize Councilmember or Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw to participate and be able to vote. So if we not his vote tonight, so I'll make a motion to allow him to participate and vote telephonically.
I second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Passes unanimously. So we I don't remember doing that for you.
I think we looked at the rules. I looked at the rules recently. I think you have to.
Okay.
If there was a contention.
I just forgot that. Thank you.
Okay, so now we're public hearing is open.
Right, thank you, Mayor, members of the council. We're back again for the mid-year biennial budget adjustment. Something I know that you're well accustomed to is all of your collective years on the council. This year we've done a couple of different things. Instead of just providing the numbers for you, I really wanted to give you a sense of A, what was accomplished.
You'll find,
So some of the changes in the budget, Tom Gaffman was budgeted. He retired earlier than expected. His position was not replaced. We created a Department of Finance and Administration, so we subsumed the city clerk function into that department, and that position was reallocated to fund the Director of Communications and Marketing. And I think, you know, this just kind of underscores why we're constantly evaluating the best way to conduct the work and organize the work. So we're not just adding position after position. I'm kind of get to that function. The council authorized in the paying classification plan a position for assistant director of finance. That's a management level position, so it's an expensive position. Peggy and I have talked about this. We've looked at how to potentially reorganize some of the work that would allow Peggy to focus on more of the financial components and really look at a lot of the processes that we want to update, not just the policies, but the processes. And so we'll be bringing to you some reorganization that we're contemplating within her department. But for now, we've removed that position from budget forecast. This one I would really like for you to just kind of make a mental note of as we get into the revenue adjustments, but we have hired additional part-time customer service representatives, and we fashion their work to better coincide with the nature of the work that is customer service, which is primarily made up of passports for us. And, you know, that is not constant work. It ebbs and flows, and there's days it's really busy and days it's really slow. And we restructure those positions to be able to have those people come in and leave that ties to the ebb and flow of that work. That's allowed us to more fully staff that work. So we basically offer a passport 6 days a week on an almost full-time basis, Saturday, I think. we don't open until 9:30, but the rest of the week is that 8 to 5. And I just really want to underscore that because I know we talked in different conversations about change, but now we're starting to see the effects of some of this change that we've implemented. And with this change, along with some other businesses that have closed around us, we are now on track to double our revenue projection in this area. So we'll talk about that a little bit more in revenue. Personnel summary continued. We have a permanent part-time customer service position that we've eliminated through attrition and opted for the more flexible part-time customer service positions. We have a vacant building permit coordinator position in evaluating workload in the planning department. We determined we really didn't need two persons to do that job. We just needed to have one. And so we reallocated this position. We didn't eliminate it, but we reallocated it to the finance department where we did have it. And so that's our extra accounting. And I think we did that, I don't know, several months ago now, and we talked about it, but you'll remember that's where that came from. We used to also have a part-time building official position and a full-time building inspector position. And we've actually consolidated those into one position. And so we have an individual now who has the credentials to review the plans, but also to conduct the inspections. And he's been really a fabulous addition to our team. If you haven't met Rick already, I hope you do. He has great personality, very positive comments from the development community. And I was just talking with him last week, and more closely in there as well. We're not behind on anything by consolidating this, so I felt very positive about that. As you know, we have added a position of Deputy Chief of Police. And then we have the CPSM study that was underway, and we had transferred an individual who was filling the administrative assistant position in the police department to fill a need over in our planning department, which is now our Public Works and Development Services department. So we left that position vacant. It continues to be vacant if we didn't analyze the recommendations from the CPSF study and determine how we're going to fill those administrative needs. As we discussed previously, you know, we merged rather than have two departments. We've merged into one department, our Public Works Department, and our Planning and Development Department, into this new Department of Public Works and Development Services. I've already seen exactly what I was hoping to see. There is, a lot of times people don't realize, but there's an awful lot of interaction between the people who build capital projects and the people who help plan them and design them. And so to have all of that staff working together as one team in, already in a short time is yielding, I think, better service. So as part of that department merger, the Director of Community and Economic Development Director position was reclassified to the Planning Manager position, and Tom Rogers fills that. And our Right-of-Way Inspector position was merged with our Engineering Tech position. And, you know, part of the work that we did through the budget process, you'll recall, is rewrite and update all of the city job descriptions, right? And that was the foundation for the compensation analysis. And a lot of these job descriptions, you know, were good job descriptions when they were implemented. And as the city has grown, technology has changed, their jobs have changed, they really need to be updated. And so we had an engineering tech position that was becoming more outdated with less to do. But we had this right-of-way inspection that's all in the same pay grade and the same basic kinds of technical skills. And we were able to combine those to make a full-time position. And we were able, we had attrition in one position, we had a position, a person filling the other, and so we were able to collapse those into one job with quite excellent results, I might say. Our surface water technician is currently vacant. The new director has not filled that yet because we are currently evaluating with the merger how we will address that specific need this time of year. There is just water testing and some annual reports to write. Existing staff has picked that up. But that in itself is not a full-time job. And we are going to be looking at what other functions that the city may have. And I think a big part of that will be the capital planning. Depending upon on how aggressive the capital plan is. There may be a need for more engineering support, and this job may become a part of a bigger job description. The Director of Human Resources has reduced her work hours to 20 hours a week. As part of her succession planning, she is planning to retire within sometime within the next year. And we are currently advertising for a human resources labor relations specialist, and she'll be bringing that person. I think the city has grown now with the work of its unions that it really needs, maybe not in a full-time capacity, but as a part of a job description, labor relations work. And that, you know, there's constant work to maintaining contracts, addressing grievances, training supervisors on the components of these contracts, dealing with ULPs. There's a whole body of work now that the city is big enough and needs to be maintaining. So due to kind of our constant focus on evaluating the organizational structure, and restructuring as needed, we've been able to absorb our two new positions, the deputy chief position and the HRLR specialist, with no increase in personnel funding for what was originally adopted for the general fund for the 17-18 biennium. So going to work completed, again, I remind you in the budget, we have strategic objectives that were outlined. And so some of that work has been accomplished in year one of the two-year biennium. There was other work that was not budgeted for that we've taken on and have completed. So the fire agreement, that was a huge lift. We've hammered out all of the points of the contract now, and we're just down to about the last 10% of the language. I've just met with the fire department representatives in the last, 7 to 10 days. And so I'm working on actually drafting the language right now to get over. I hope to have that before you for ratification in January. Of course, you know, we negotiated a new contract with AFSCME for a four-year term, and we completed that in August. One significant work of note was our franchise agreement. Several of them have expired or were out of date. All of those have been brought up to date. All of the legal fees incurred were recouped through those franchise agreements, and you'll see that on the revenue side. We've also conducted an audit of our Comcast agreement, and while it is tentative at this point, the initial preliminary findings of that audit show that the city is due approximately $80,000 to $90,000 in fees, and so Peggy is working to finalize that with our law firm who's handling that for us. That is a pretty standard thing governments do to audit, particularly cable providers. Different municipal associations have even had that as a service for municipalities that is handled a little bit differently in Washington. I don't know the last time that the city did that, but it would be a good thing for us to do periodically, particularly with our zip code situation here and, you know, been a lot of development. So we just did a lot of truing up of addresses and working through what's owed to the city that wasn't paid previously.
Excuse me, did we conduct that audit?
No.
It was through the audit. Yeah,
right. Okay. So this is the agreement for us.
Oh, okay.
So as part of that, we drafted in the audit.
Sometimes it's kind of and take a piece of the pie.
Yeah, we did not set it up that way, structure it that way.
Just note for that might be because, you know, a percentage of what things are.
Right.
Isn't bad.
So, let's see. Of course, as you know, the last legislative session, there were two bills that passed related to public records requests. We have taken that opportunity with those two bills to actually draft a comprehensive PRA policy for the city, something we haven't had before, and so we drafted a section for the and a policy, and I believe that is on your council agenda packets for January 9th. And then we have developed an ordinance and a policy recall earlier in the year to govern our actual policy development process and make that transparent by putting adopted policies online along with our municipal code and then our police policy. Through that support will be another link on that same page. We actually instituted a centralized tracking system for all public records requests throughout the city. And those used to have individual spreadsheets by department. That's all logged into our central request tracker under a separate category now. So we can better track when we receive them, when we respond to them, log the dates. All the documents that are provided are in that request tracker, so it gives us a little bit better accountability. And then I talked a little bit about our staffing model for passport business. So we've adjusted the staffing model. We've also adjusted the physical location for passports to be able to process more people simultaneously. And again, you'll see when Peggy talks about the numbers, the return on that investment. We published a formal budget book for the 17-18 biennium. Organized it based on GFOA budget criteria. We'll be building on that for the 19-20 budget, and that's our hope is to actually submit that to GFOA for an award for that year. Something I really want to point out that isn't something you ever see, but one of the things Peggy took on with her staff is completely reorganizing the chart of accounts. That took, I don't even know, weeks of work. It was extremely laborious. Of course, Washington has a borrowed accounting manual that you need to comply with, so they actually have a prescribed chart of accounts, which makes it a little bit more difficult, I think. But if you ever saw the detailed budget to actual reports, there was just account. And so I think you eliminated those by about 500 accounts and consolidated that, right? So that was a tremendous amount of work, and the reason to do that is to have more concise, better report. And so we're pleased with that effort. Peggy and her team have streamlined the cash receiving processes. James has worked on one of the recommendations from our security audit, was deploying software that actually provides security information and logs all events, every transaction on our different computer systems, so we can do analytics on that for security measures, and then deploy a redundant internet connection, or again, part of the security recommendation. We've implemented an automated archiving system as we've launched the new website and the social media sites, as well as for text messaging on city devices, like the police department, and anyone who has a city device, and we automatically archive those. We have new backup systems for the city computers, and then implemented cybersecurity awareness training that we're already finding people are getting a little bit better at identifying different scams, so I think that's been helpful. Through our personnel system, through ADP, we actually now have an online recruitment process for hiring folks. We also have electronic position requisitions to allow for better internal control, so in the past, people could just go to Laura and say, hey, I want to advertise for this position, right? So now it goes through a process that Peggy and I sign off on, so it's consistent with the budget and authorizing that to happen, and there's some checks and balances in there. As I mentioned, all of our job description reviews were done for non-police positions, and of course, then the corresponding compensation analysis. I think you'll recall when I first got here, kind of talked about every department had its own HR kind of mini office, and so we consolidated all of the personnel files. Since consolidating those, we created an architecture for those files, and all of that information has been organized and then either archived for former employees or filed for existing employees, and now we're in the process of digitizing all that through the ADP system. We've instituted the first part of our internship program using a lot more interns. And I think for me, I feel very passionate about this program for a couple of reasons. One, it's great for our high school and college students to get the experience of interviewing for a job look at the projections for the next generation and the real concern there is about attracting individuals to the public sector, to be public servants, that an internship is important to just even raise that idea. There is a huge generational concern, but there will be a significant shortage of people who are actually passionate and devoted to public service. So I think that that's important for us as municipal leaders to do. We have continued our in-house recruitments of executive level staff. Most recently, our new deputy chief. We launched the Citizens Police Academy in 2017, and we implemented a City Hall campus security plan where we started going through with the key cards. We've updated the key card system. We've added more doors to that. We also have 5 positions. What positions have access to different parts of the building, making sure the armory, the evidence rooms, all those things involved. Cash doors, all that is secure, and that we can track that electronically. And of course, conducted the study through CPSM on the police operations. It was a significant lift for the year. As I mentioned previously, we reorganized and expanded the recreation department into the new Department of Communications and Marketing. Recreation and tourism falls in as part of that. We, again, conducted in-house executive recruitment for the director's position, and Jeffy started with the city on February 1st. And we implemented a, Jeffy, after starting, developed and implemented a citywide communications strategy and marketing plan for the city. We developed marketing standards and have instituted systems to ensure compliance by all departments with those branding standards. And we have a regular cycle of quarterly newsletters that the department has been putting out for the year. We have started quarterly meetings of different focus groups. So we have a neighborhood focus group, a senior center focus group now, and a Brookdale focus group. And this is all towards our citizen engagement goals and getting feedback from various segments of the community. And implemented the town hall meeting concept. Of course, partnered with ICMA to develop the television production about the city and what we're doing. We, of course, drafted and the council adopted the social media policy, and subsequent to that, launched our social media channels, so Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The city just launched last week its new website and its new tourism sub-site. If you haven't had a chance to look it out, please do. And we started a legislative communications program within the department to provide the council with a legislative tracking report in your packets during the legislative session. And then initiated for the first time kind of a legislative priorities work session where inviting members, representatives and members from AWC to partake in that. The city had 15 community events that we planned and implemented and provided support for 7 other events. We also did a cost-benefit analysis of all of our recreational programming in terms of really what was of value from a community perspective, what were people looking for, and that allowed staff to critically analyze that programming and completely update that programming for 2017 for the recreation guide. So they got some experience doing that. Development projects that we've been involved in, you can see there, and I think you're pretty familiar with all of those. We've really kicked off a different, well, I would say a code enforcement program within Public Works and Development Services. But we've really tried to take an educational component and a voluntary compliance initiative with that. But I think the council for your goal setting has really talked about how important it is to you to maintain the look and the feel of Mill Creek. And so this is something we've started that we want to continue building on. And we have a long way to go, but we took the first step with that in 2017. As I stated earlier, we merged the Departments of Public Works and Community and Economic Development into one department, now Public Works and Development Services. Again, conducted the executive recruitment for that in-house, and then Gina Hortolosa started with us on November 1st. We applied for and received a $50,000 stormwater grant from the Department of Ecology just recently. And then staff has managed engineering and design of the following projects, getting them ready for construction. Of course, the first of those being 35th Avenue, which is anticipated to start in April of 2018. We are currently advertised an RFQ for inspection and construction management services. All of the permitting has been accomplished. Staff is currently performing its final constructability review, and then plans to advertise for construction in January. And of course, this year, through Senator Hobbs, we were able to get another $750,000 to that project. So now we have state funding of $4,750,000 towards that project. The HVAC system, if you recall, when that came to council just recently, and that is for the City Hall North building, and that is just about wrapped up, so it should be done by the end of this month. Our newly named Exploration Park, formerly North Point Park, again, design's 95% complete. It's under constructability and bid review. And then we plan to advertise the RFQ for the inspection and construction management services in January 2018. Construction on that project is also slated to start around the April 2018 mark, so we'll be managing two projects in the same area there. 2017 overlays, completed the overlay of Wildflower and Mill Park Village neighborhoods in September of this year. And that gives me a break, and then you can take it out.
So our financial summary, we're looking to increase the revenue plan by just a little over $400,000. The different categories that this is coming from is sales tax. We've enjoyed a much stronger sales tax than we had initially budgeted. Our plan check fees are increased. Passports is, of course, the obvious winner here. We had budgeted $450,000 for the biennium. Right now, through November, we're at $425,000. But, of course, I'm the accountant, so I'm being conservative and leaving that number at $200,000. We've got interest that we under budgeted, so we're doing $50,000 better for the biennium. And then this transfer in is really part of the collapsing of the funds that we discussed last year. The mechanism to do it is to have a transfer out to the expected page, but then you also transfer it in, and we're transferring it into the general fund because we will pay out non-department for any unemployment rate. It is so few, it's such a small amount, it really makes sense to track it with the first time.
But I like the conservative approach to passports, but is it accurate that that's probably half of what you likely will see?
Other revenues proposed in our other funds are municipal arts, the transfer in, we're collapsing that from the beautification funds that mechanism to do that is really to do the transfer in and transfer out so that it's technically correct with how the SAO wants to see it. I did increase the road improvement fund for the $750,000 that we got initially. And then the CIP refunding is really, it's not an increment. We had netted the amounts with the REIT as though we were expending the CIP construction projects out of that, and that's technically not the right way to do it. So you'll see I've increased it here on the revenue side so that we can account for it appropriately. And then you'll also see the corresponding increase in expenditures when I turn the slide. So increases in all funds, includes the general fund as well, plus the ones that you see here is about almost $5.8 million.
And I just want to kind of take a moment to point out that in general fund, you always see that balance, revenues to expenditures, because those are operating funds. You never see revenues equal expenditures. And if you look at the attachments to the ordinance, you'll see that difference. And if you'll recall in your budget book, if you have it in front of you, when you're dealing with capital funds, you're not expending everything you're taking in, or it doesn't match exactly. So you start the biennium with a beginning fund balance in those different capital accounts. You add revenue into that. Then you're taking out whatever projects for the fiscal year you have in the regular income balance. So I just want to make a distinction between funds like the general fund and those capital funds, because when you look at the appendix to your ordinance, those totals at the bottom aren't even, but that's why you never have revenues equal expenditures on capital.
Going back, Peggy, before you go on, so the bottom line is increases in resources, all funds, but some of those increases are moving things from one place to another. Some of them are
accounting.
I wasn't going to say accounting tricks, but yeah.
Yeah.
Accounting entries. So are these things on this slide, are those all accounting entries? No, the 750 is new money that we didn't know.
The other entries are accounting.
Accounting things. So the 407, 270 on the previous slide was new money.
That is actually new money.
That we're putting into, that's all general fund money?
Yeah.
Okay, and then this is 750 for capital, and then the other stuff is accounting moves. Okay, thanks.
Here are some of the expenditures that we've increased for some of the things. We've had a lot of legal fees in the activity that we've done through union negotiations, Public Records Act, or public records policy as we try to clean things up. Franchise agreements, you know, we have to expend the money. We don't get to net the money coming in with the expenditure. We have to keep those separate based on the SAO rules. You know, we've had bank fees have just gone crazy, and that's going to be one of my objectives in 2018 that we need. I think there's a couple of avenues. I think Bank of America is not the right fit for us in a small city, but I also think that, you know, cities are now charging convenience fees. So when you have developers, you know, you obviously want to be able to turn around the permits quickly, but when you're putting through $50,000 on a credit card, that doesn't really help us as far as the fees go. And so I think we need to close that from a procedural standpoint. But I also do think the bigger issue is who we bank with. I met with a group of finance directors today, and most of them are with U.S. Bank. We have a couple of other considerations. We bring in a lot of cash and a lot of checks throughout the week, so we have to have brick and mortar fairly close so we can make deposits. But I think there's a better fit for the city of our size is what we're doing. And then obviously the CPSM studies increase the amounts. We're proposing a $207,000 increase. The CIP transfer out, that's us taking this $400,000 bucket. We've got $200,000 of hard costs. But that other $200,000 we're earmarking to try and be responsible to fund the CIP accounts for whatever we may need in the future. We will be going through that process to see, you know, what is in front of us over the next 6 years, but, you know, even more immediately over this next couple of years. So we want to be responsible and take the extra money and put it into the CIP fund. So so that we have money available to fix things. So you'll see the increase in the expenditures here is, you know, equal to what we brought in.
I think what's important about it is a couple of things. Is, you know, a lot of focus was originally getting the general fund balance, not taking money out of reserve. And now we're able to take actually money from general fund and, as Peggy said, earmark it to transfer into reserves towards capital. So in layman's terms, you think about like that's a surplus over and above what you budgeted. But you're not just letting it sit there to be spent. You know, you're saying okay, we're going to protect this absent some major catastrophe or something happening with the revenue sources. The other thing I'd say, if you'll recall when we adopted the budget, we had $185,000 that we had projected was one-time sales tax type of revenue for construction. And we can put that, earmark that as a one-time revenue to go towards a one-time expenditure, i.e. CIP. And that was directly accounted for in CIP. So that $185,000 has already hit the account. This $200,000 would be over.
Extra, yeah. Could you go back for a second? So the bad news, air quotes, all the 207, 270 is stuff that, unfortunately, we had not budgeted for. Those are extra expenses, but I'm looking at some of those, and I understand what kind of goes on behind those. You know, union negotiation doesn't happen every year, or Public Records Act is kind of a one-time thing that we had to do. So I can see where some of these are continuing that helped us make do a better budgeting job next biennium, but part of them is a one-time kind of thing. I like bank fees. You got a fix in mind for that, so that won't get us next time. So I think that's good.
On the franchise agreement, there's an offset to that on the revenue side
because you made some money, you found some money.
And so, you know, the other thing I'd say too is legal fees. That's not all one law firm, right? So Summit Law does labor, so that's one bucket. Mm-hmm. And then you know, we have two different kind of firms. I think it was two, and then franchise. So that's a different bucket. And then we have the city attorney's office.
And the last two, bank fees and CPSM, are not really legal fees. They're on indent. Those are just other stuff in that 207. Yeah.
Like the CPSM, that's really a one-time hit. I wouldn't imagine you
would
do that in the near future.
And that was not work that was originally budgeted for.
Right. Thanks.
And then in our other funds, we proposed some appropriations, the council contingency. When we put the budget together, we didn't have any appropriation. So for 17, you know, we contributed to the summer concert series, I believe, was part of that. And then we had also done a scholarship. And so I just said, okay, well, for 18, maybe we'll replicate that so we don't have to come back to the well. Or we can adjust it as appropriate. The municipal arts, we are continuing with our utility wrap, so we've got money in there for that. Paths and Trails has some nominal amounts. Still have to have an appropriation in order to expend the money. The drug buy fund is where we're getting our new canine. We did some work with Scott Massal's office, and it was determined that under the law we're allowed to use those monies for that specific type of dog. Beautification fund, the transfer out there is again an accounting entry, how we're collapsing those funds. We need an appropriation to do that. There you'll see the corresponding CIP where we're splitting those funds out from Reed into a specific capital, our CIP, road improvements and parks. Road improvement, that is an increase up to $250,000. That's an estimate for the Wildflower and Miller Pond repaving. And then you'll see the equipment. And then there's your amount to close out the unemployment fund. So if you look at the increase in expenditures here, it says the majority of that is just getting the accounting correct.
And before you, but attached to that ordinance is actually the summary of representation, and we're happy to answer questions or if there are some people in the public here.
Okay, testimony. That's okay. Does anybody want to talk to the council or testify about the budget? Anybody going once, twice? Okay, we'll close the public comment portion of the hearing. Are there any more council questions? Any council discussion? Council Member Todd.
Yeah, thank you, Director and City Manager, for the slides that helped answer some of my questions. I'm looking at the exhibit itself now, and I'm trying to translate these numbers, and I'm sure they're right, Peggy, but help me out. Yeah. On capital, I'm looking at the revenue version. There's two things, the revenue and expenditure. So the first one is revenues. When we've got like the 775 on park improvement, that is money coming in from the REIT, because you've taken the REIT and...
Right. Like, if you look at that whole CIP, we presented that based on the funding mechanism as opposed to where the appropriation would come from. So, for instance, if you look at capital improvement grants, well, there isn't a CIP fund that you have appropriations in that's called capital improvement grants.
Okay.
So we've sliced and diced that and put that in the appropriate... buckets, and for that $4,526,000, here's how it sliced, here's where the pieces went. We had a portion of that was going to our regular CIP fund, which is $250,000. Parks is getting $276,000 up for our sports park, the turf. And then the other part of that was the $4 million that we got at a grant for 35th.
So those added up, and you're saying what we just had them, again, it's that accounting thing.
Yeah, it was how we presented it.
Okay.
We will not present it like that again next time, I can assure you.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Well, I think that's...
Budgeting is different too than the accounting. Yeah. So a lot of times your budgets are presented by fund. This is to get it now moved from the accounting perspective to the right funds.
I'm going to admit my ignorance here. I'll grab Councilmember Holzbaugh's book. This wonderful book, I'm hoping, and I just forgot or never read it. Do we have a good description in here for lay people to appreciate these different funds, or going forward, are we going to work on that? So we kind of, because I think you're right. You guys walked into this and said, okay, there's some old ways that used to be done that worked when the city was smaller and younger. But now we're kind of changing the system. But I think it's helpful for people to say, okay, what is in that fund? Where does the money come in? Where does it go out? How does this work?
Yeah,
a little description for each one would be helpful. Is that already in here?
We do have some of that in there under each one of the projects. It shows where the funding source is.
For the projects.
Yeah.
I'm just saying for the fund itself, a description of what the heck is this fund about? How does the money come in? How does it go out about that? Okay.
And then that, all those will be more particularly described. We have some of those definitions, but I think what you're talking about is talking about, okay, we take this in, and then it goes to this fund, and this fund, and this
right.
fund.
Yeah, it kind of explains the process for non-accountants to figure out. Good. Thanks. Community transit budget is complicated, but I've appreciated it. You know, they bring money in from the feds, but then it has to go from here to these kinds of projects or that kind of project. Since they've got an explanation for each one that helps you kind of track where the dollars go, because it gets complicated with federal dollars. And I think ours is simpler, but I think that same kind of description would help. Thanks.
Brian, do you have any questions?
Nope, I'm good.
Anybody else?
Nice work.
So now you're looking for a motion to approve ordinance number 2017-825?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
I can read it.
Okay.
My last motion. Washington, for specific funds, original 2016-810, and this is ordinance number 2017
8-2-5.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Next up is, you're done with the budget now.
Yes.
Okay. Next up is audience communication. Going once, twice. Mr. Martin.
Good evening, Councilman and folks in the audience. My name is Herbie Martin. I live at 14119 42nd Avenue Southeast, Mill Creek, Washington. On December 15th, 2017, the Snohomish County Civil Court judge made a ruling on the vacancy of the council seat number one. What is the next step for the Mill Creek City Council?
Do you want to get back to him on that, or do you want to answer it?
I'm happy to answer it. At this point, we have not, we're awaiting the judge's order. And so when we get a formal order from the court, then we'll be able to review the findings of fact and law and determine if there are any appeal rights that are pending, and we'll evaluate that with the city attorney, and then we'll be in a position to advise the council on next steps. But right now, I don't have even the court's order.
That happened on Friday. Today is the 18th. Yeah, I guess, ma'am.
Sometimes it takes the court a while to issue a written order.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Going once, twice? Okay, with that, Happy New Year, and we're adjourned.
Bye,
Brian. Bye, Brian.
Bye, Brian.
Have a good holiday.
Good Christmas.
Yes.
I can get a lot more information.